Thank you. Two of those hymns were about our Lord lifting us up out of the ark, while everyone all over the world, unbelievers, sank to the bottom. That ark, the Lord, everyone in that ark, He lifted it above the overwhelming flood, and they landed in a new earth. 1 Peter 3, we've looked at this, Noah and the ark, so many times, as we should. It's one of the first stories in the beginning of the world, the end of the world. The Lord told us the end in the beginning, didn't it? And our Lord spoke of this. This came to mind. Well, let's read the text first, verses 18 through 22. Christ once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, like that ark, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, and by which, the Holy Spirit, He went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime, or at the time of Noah's, when Spirit of God, Christ, through Noah, preached, verse 20, when they were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure, whereunto baptism doth also now save us, not to put any way of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven, is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and power have been made subject unto Him. This came to mind since the Lord recently, this last little bit, has been blessing us with great deal of rain. It made me think of the flood. It's easy to see how 40 days of rain could destroy this world. It's easy to see, easy to believe that the Lord sent a flood. It's easy to see and easy to believe that the Lord is going to destroy this world forever when you look around us and see how this world really is. We need to be reminded of this. We just read it in 2 Peter 3, didn't it? Seeing all these things shall be dissolved, isn't that right, soon, what manner of persons we ought to be. This is mentioned, the ark of Noah, and we're not going to talk so much about the ark as about Noah and faith. But this is often mentioned in scriptures. David spoke of the flood in Psalm 104. Our Lord mentioned it twice in the Gospels. Hebrews mentions it. Paul, the writer, we think. Peter, in both of his epistles, he wrote two short epistles, and both of them, he makes a point to bring up the flood. And we should think about this so much more as we see the day approaching. Our Lord said, as in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And God's people, like Noah, are waiting. Waiting on the Lord. That's the name of this theme, really, of this message. Resting and waiting in the ark. Noah entered the ark when it was finished, and he was resting. He rested, and he was waiting on the Lord's word to come true. Preaching. Christ, our Lord, was a preacher. 2 Peter 2, it says of Noah that he was a preacher of righteousness. The Lord spared Noah, saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Well, our Lord Jesus Christ was a preacher, wasn't he? And Noah, warned of God, warned his family and all those around him. He preached righteousness, right? And you remember Psalm 40? We read it last time I preached to you. When was that? I've been gone some time. Anyway, where the Lord said his meat was to do the will of the Father, finish the work. And Psalm 40 says, I've preached righteousness in the great congregation. I have not hid thy righteousness in my heart. I've declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. Noah was a preacher of righteousness, a holy and righteous God. And our Lord was too. And the first thing our Lord preached was repent. Because God is holy. God will punish sin. Preaching. The apostles, the prophets were preachers. The apostles were preachers. Evangelists, pastors. Preachers. God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Whoever heard Noah and the Lord gave them faith, they were in the ark. And it was his family, which is a good picture of Christ. Noah saved his family by preaching righteousness, preparing the ark. He's a type of Christ. Christ saves his family. It's only going to be his family in him. No strangers. At any rate, how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they hear without a preacher? Please God. Preaching is foolishness to the world. It's becoming more so all the time because most so-called preachers are fools. What they do, what they are, what they say is foolishness, and the world sees right through it. But preaching is what God has chosen to save his people. And preaching is this, all right? It's declaring God's word. And with urgency. Preaching is declaring the warnings of God. How many times have we said that? The warnings of God and the promises of God. Because there's no good news unless you've heard the bad news. Unless you've been warned, you're not going to fear. You're not going to need saving. See? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and the Lord warned him. He moved. He believed. The preaching is declaring God's word, God's truth. Noah preached the Creator, holy, sovereign, God overall. But the world says no, there's no God. What I'm getting at is, why were so few people in that ark? They asked the Lord that one time, Lord, are there few that be saved? Didn't they? How many people believed the Lord Jesus Christ while he was on this earth preaching? Not many. And in the end, in the beginning it says many believed on it, but in the end it said many went back and walked no more with him. And in the end, everybody got together and crucified him. Noah preached God, the holy and sovereign God who will punish sin, who's angry, and the unrighteousness of man, the evil of man. That man is evil. He's altogether, from the sole of his feet, his walk, the top of his head, his mind, his imagination, nothing but evil continually. That's what the Lord said in Genesis 6. And Noah saw that, and Noah, that's what Noah preached. The depravity of man, the absolute holiness of God, the sovereignty of God, the justice of God. God will punish sin. The depravity, the evil of man. But no, man says now, and they must have said it then, we're not that bad, Noah. God's not that holy. We think God loves us all. No judgment. We don't believe that. What law are you talking about, Moses? There was no law. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. Noah preached that. The wages of sin is death. Death is coming. And God's the one that's going to do it. But no, they don't believe that. And they don't believe it now. No, they believe if anything will kill us, it'll be global warming. Honestly, that's what men think of. Well, isn't that ironic? No, we're not going to die because of sin. That's what God said. The wages of sin is death. You're going to die because of sin. No, we believe the environment is going to be our death or our poor diet, and we're working to fix that up so we can live forever. Right? That's what man said. That's what they thought then. Man hadn't changed. That's what they think then. To preach is to declare that Jesus Christ is God come down on this earth. Sent by God in a covenant, like Noah. Covenant. God made a covenant with Noah. Thee have I seen righteous in this generation. My covenant is with you, Noah. If anybody's saved, it's going to be you. Right? Nobody's going to be saved but by Noah. You're going to have to be with Noah in that ark, right? Other people say, no, I don't believe that. Noah, you think you're right? He was right, and everybody else was wrong. Wasn't it? And they all found out. Most too late. Noah found grace. He found out because he found grace. He was found in the ark. How about you? The world thinks this story is a fairy tale, a fable. Oh, it's interesting. They built a big model of it, you know, so everybody go see. Like, that's like going to Disney World to see the kingdom or whatever that is. Don't do it. Don't go there. That's idolatry. It really is. The Lord said, don't make any image of anything. They found the brazen serpent, and Hezekiah had it ground to powder. They were worshiping it. And so-called Christians, I'm sure, they probably, I guarantee you, they get down on their knees when they get in that ark and think it's some kind of sacred ground. No, I wish it'd burn up. Don't go see that. It's not a thing to be looked upon with interest and amazement. People go away thinking about that ark and who built it and how amazing the ark was, and not thinking of Jesus Christ, he said. We worship God in spirit, and have no flesh, don't need props like that. To preach God's word is to preach that Jesus Christ is God come into the flesh and has all power and all judgment. Yes, he's the God of judgment. All judgment has been committed unto him. That he's the one way to God. Noah, as I said, you're going to be with Noah or you're going to be cast down. You're going to be damned. There was one name that God had all men saved under. Noah. No other name. His name means rest. Rest. And Christ is the one name, the only person under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He's the way. There is no other way to God. His righteousness, not ours. His blood, he must die for you. He must be your sin payment. He must bear your sins in his body on the tree, and God punish him in your stead and shed his blood for your sins to be remitted. That's the truth.
Amen.
But the world says, no, that's God, that's barbaric. That's bloody religion. And they thought it then, think it now. So there were 8 people. Why were there so few? After Noah's preaching this for 100 years, maybe more. We don't know when Noah actually found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It says he was 500 years old when he started having children. But the Lord may have revealed himself to him years before that. At any rate, he preached. He was a preacher for a long time. And in the end, 8 people. Amazing. They thought this was all foolishness. So preaching is warnings and promises, though. Noah, there's mercy. Noah, I love you. You found grace in my eyes. I'm going to show mercy to you, Noah. You're going to be found in the ark. I've shown you the way. My mercy, my love, my grace, my kindness, my long-suffering to you, Noah. You and your house, come into the ark. What mercy. What a promise. You shall be saved. Hebrews 11. Go over to Hebrews 11 with warnings. Warnings of the consequences of sin. Rebellion against God brings consequences, doesn't it? And promises of the mercy, grace, peace with God, forgiveness of God for all who repent. Boy, that's an old-fashioned message, isn't it? You just don't hear it anymore. The God that we repent to is a holy God. A just God. And the goodness of God leads us to repent. But you don't hear that anymore. Promises of mercy. What's mercy? Not getting what you deserve, being spared. Noah knew that he should have drowned in the flood like everybody else. There was a time when he didn't know God. The time he didn't believe. Shem, he knew that. Noah's wife, Shem's wife, maybe, I don't know. There was a time they all knew they didn't know God, but God chose them and revealed the way. Mercy and grace, the ark. And so preaching is preaching the warnings and the promises of God. Are in, all of them are in Christ Jesus. All the promises of God were in that ark and are in Christ. And they're yay and amen. Lord, will that ark save us? Yay. Noah said amen. Noah preached this for 100+ years. Hebrews 11:7, by faith Noah, Hebrews 11 verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God, it says, by grace you say through faith. And that's not of yourself. It's the gift of God. So Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, by the Lord gave him faith. He received this precious gift called faith, to believe God. To believe the unseen God, to believe the warnings, to believe the promises, to believe the covenant. Noah found grace. By faith, Noah, being warned of God. See the first thing? Warned. What does being warned do? What does that cause in you? Fear. Where's the fear of God today? Noah, being warned of God, moved with fear. Fear of the Lord. The Proverbs. What's the very first proverb that Solomon begins with? Significantly, it's the 7th verse. Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's the first proverb. Fear. Verse 7. 11, 7. Hebrews 11, 7. Genesis 7, 7 days. It's not by accident. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. He moved with fear, fear of the Lord. Do you fear God? Do you? It says he prepared an ark. The Lord told him there's one way. There's one way. This is the truth. And this is your life, Noah, this ark. So he, I believe you, Lord. I believe you. When the overflowing scourge of my wrath comes nigh, God said to Noah, there's one way. I'm telling you the truth. And this is your life, the ark. And Noah prepared an ark. You know, real faith believes. Real faith fears God. Real faith moves. Real faith comes to Christ. Confesses Christ. We're going to look at that in our text. Baptized. Noah was baptized. Real faith desires more than anything else to be found in Christ. Really. Real faith wants more than anything else to be found in Christ. Noah believed God, so what was his hope? Is that when the wrath of God falls, that he's found in the ark, right? He lived in the world. Noah had responsibilities and things to do. He had home and all that, food and so forth, didn't he? He had things to do. That went on, as always. But his overriding thoughts, the thing that he thought on all the time, every day, day in and day out, and worked on every day, wasn't a day that went by that he didn't think about it. The ark. Is that you? That's faith. That's to believe God. The ark was Noah's life. It says to the saving of his house. And Noah moved with fear. He moved. He got up. Went to work. Faith literally moves where Christ is, where the gospel is. Yes, it does. And will not be moved away. Nobody could entice Noah away from that ark. Nobody. Noah going, I don't have time for that. And what you need to do is join me in working on his ark. To the saving of his house. You know, he wanted his house saved. The ark was Noah's life, and it was his family's life. He knew that. If my family lives, if my wife lives, if my sons live, if their wives live, they're going to be in the ark. And he talked about it. Every day. And he had his son. I like to think about Shem, Ham, and Japheth. I don't know how old they were, but, you know, like those three, four boys back there. Stephen and Hope have them in here hoping they'll be in the ark someday. Right? Do you think Shem, Ham, and Japheth wanted to work on that ark? Get up, Shem. Oh, do I have to get up, son? Japheth, where are you going? You come with me, son. I want you in that ark. There's nothing on this earth I want more for you than to be in that ark. I'm telling you the truth, boys. Tell your wives. This is real. It was their life too. All he wanted for his wife and his sons were to be found in that ark. Now, as said, they had things that they had to do. They had responsibility. Is it wrong? Did they have houses they lived in? Probably. The Lord said that. Buying and selling and building and eating and drinking and so forth. That's nothing wrong with any of those things. Okay? But don't let it take your mind away from, and don't let it ever take you away from, the gospel. There's one thing needful, right? So, look at Genesis 7. Look at Genesis 7. And it says Noah condemned the world, didn't it? Condemned the world. Genesis 7. Now look at this. You're going like this. Genesis 7, talking about resting and waiting in the ark. For a hundred years, Noah preached this message. Long time. And that ark was his life. Where would you find Noah every day? If you're looking for Noah, where would you be? The ark. Where's Christ going to be? With his people. The ark is a picture of the church, too, isn't it? Right? Christ's Noah. Where are you going to find him? Noah is one of God's people. Where are you going to find him? In the ark. Working on the ark. serving the hour. He believes God. You know, Christ and His church are one. You can't separate them. You can't separate them. You can't have one without the other. Right? That's right. Genesis 7, look at this. Verse 1. The Lord said unto Noah, here's how He found grace. Come thou, and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. How did He see him as righteous? How did He see Abraham as righteous? What did it say? Abraham believed God. And was counted unto him for righteousness. Of course, he's a picture of Christ there, certainly. But faith is counted for righteousness. Come thou. Verse 7, Noah went in. He believed God. When God says come, you'll come. You go in. You come to Christ. Our Lord said, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. And him that cometh to me, I will no wise cast down. Noah was a sinner. You know that, don't you? You know what he did a few years after the flood. It took years to grow that, make that wine. Years. And it's a one-time thing. But nevertheless, he was a sinner. Okay? Like everybody else. He's a sinner. But he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. How do we know? He's in the ark. He's in the ark. Verse 13. It says, in the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham, Japheth, the sons of Noah, and their wives, and three wives of his sons with them, into the ark. It just keeps saying, into the ark, into the ark, into the ark, into the ark. Look at chapter 6. I love this. Verse 18. This is a picture of Christ. With thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark. And thy wives and sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. Verse 20. Fowls and cattle and creeping things after his kind, two of every sort, shall come unto thee to keep them alive. See? One person, one way, one life, one truth. With Noah in the ark, with Christ. They found in him. Verse 16. It says they went in, all of them, male and female, as God had commanded him. See, he gave commandment to save Noah, didn't he? And you too. If you've come to Christ because God chose you and God commanded you to. Almighty love, arrest that man. Bring him to me. Fetch old Mephibosheth. He can't come, he won't come. Fetch him. I'm going to show him kindness for Christ's sake. That's the gospel, isn't it? That's the gospel. So they went in and it says, don't you love these words? The Lord shut him in. Do you have your Gadsby hymnal there close by? I don't have mine. Really?
Get your Gadsby hymnal. I was going to have a sing this, but I had mercy on Robin.
685, look at this. This is marvelous. This is marvelous. You have it? Everybody have one? Gadsby's hymnal? Everybody needs to have one at home. This is the best hymnal ever written. Marvelous. 685 says, now when Noah with his favored few was ordered to embark. A bark is a boat, ship, you know that? In order to get in the boat. Eight human souls, a little crew, entered on board his ark. Though every part he might secure with bar or bolt or pin to make the preservation sure, that didn't do it. Jehovah shut him in. The waters then might swell their tides, the billows rage and roar. They could not stay the assaulted sides nor burst the battered door. I thought, did the Lord oversee Noah building that ship? I believe he did. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ was right there by his side, commanded it, making sure every single board, every crack in every board was pitched You reckon? He's the one to shut him in. Read on. It says, souls, verse 4, so souls that into Christ believe, quickened by vital faith, eternal life at once receive and never shall see death. Now, in his own heart, the Christian puts no trust, but builds his hopes on him that opes and no man shuts, and shuts and no man opes. I love that. In Christ, his ark, he safely rides, not wrecked by death or sin. How is it he so safe abides? The Lord has shut him in. I can see it. I believe this actually happened. The Lord Jesus Christ, when that ark was finished, went out there, and it's a big door, wide door, tall door. Giraffes can get in. Wide. High. Wide. Able. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ, like he had that stone rolled away, went out. You see, the Lord was in the ark and said, Noah, come down. Because God was in Christ, reconciled us unto himself. Come down. And then when they came unto him in the ark, and I believe Noah went in first before the animals. In chapter 6 it says, you'll bring them. And in verse 20 it says, they'll come to you. I believe he went out and called them. Elephants, you, giraffe, you, turtles, skunks. Called them and then left and they followed him. And he went in the ark and sat down. And they came to him. Yeah, expecting them to come to him. I believe they did. All right, when all of them were in there. It says 7 days. Now look at this, verse 4 in chapter 7. For 7 days, God waited 7 days, but the work was finished. 7 days. God's word is so perfect. Now, I'm not sure if he shut the door and then waited 7 days, or the door was open for 7 days, or maybe it took 7 days for all of the animals to get in that ark. That's kind of what I believe. It took 7 days for all of those animals to come to Noah. But the ark was finished. Noah finished the work, didn't he? There's nothing left to do. It's finished. Dad, Shem may have said, did you get that spot on top? Is it really going to rain? Did you? Yeah, it's covered, son. It's pitched. It's pitched. The Lord oversaw it. Not one drop's going to fall on us. So when Noah went in that ark and sat, and all those animals started coming to him, 7 days, all right? And I told Ben the other day, you know, it was tough, 100-plus years preaching and so few people believe. And scoffed and mocked and laughed at it. It never rained before. And they just mocked and scoffed and laughed. Noah, come on. Really, you don't believe that, do you? Fire, the fire's going to fall out of heaven that God is actually going to destroy. Oh, come on. Didn't it? They scoffed at it. That was hard enough. But when, I believe when the world scoffed and laughed and mocked and maybe they all gathered outside that door, when Noah went in and sat down, and for 7 days, no hammer, no tool, the work was finished. He sat there and he waited. He's waiting. He's resting. Work's finished. He's resting, his work. The door of the ark's open. Now that had to have been a tough time for Noah then. Those 7 days seemed like a long time. Beloved, don't be ignorant of this now. You know, 6,000 years have passed like that. A day is 1,000 years. That's how quickly it's gone by. As a dream. As a sleep when one wakes up. As a vapor, it's your life. 6,000 years have passed. Billions and trillions of people have died. You know, all of those people are dirt under our feet right now. Everybody that died under the flood are dirt under our feet. Now that's sober, isn't it? And we're going to live 70 years at the most, 80 at the most. And then what? Maybe in the ark. Maybe in the ark. But Noah sat in that ark, and he's the work is finished. And he's confident. He believes God. Let the world laugh. Right? They're laughing. They're mocking. Look at it. They're saying, what a fool. What a fool, Noah. Look at him in there. Noah, that's going to be his coffin. You're right. You're right. Didn't Paul say in Galatians 6, I am crucified with Christ, and the world is crucified to me. Noah went in, sat in that ark, waiting on what? The word of God to be fulfilled. The rain to fall. You know, the scripture says that Christ shall come down like rain on the what? Mown grass. All flesh is grass. And he went in that ark and he sat there and he's waiting, confident. The work is finished. It's complete. The Lord said it will hold you. This ark is going to keep you. And he sat there and he waited. Nobody else came in. And the Lord went out there and shut that door and took a bucket of pitch and pitched the seam on that door all around. People may have been walking by. I believe it's happening. Who's that man? Noah knew who it was. Noah knew that man. The world didn't. Who's that man? And the windows of heaven opened up. Oh, man. Go back to our text now real quickly. 1 Peter 3. And let me close with this, because this is vital. 1 Peter chapter 3. Go back there. You know, we read there in 2 Peter 3 about water, water, water. It says 8 souls were saved by water, water, water. The world began water. The Lord created the world in water. The world overflowed by water, didn't it? You can't have life without water. Christ said, I am the water. You're going to live by Him or you're going to die by Him. The Word is His water. The Word, water of the Word. You're either going to believe His Word and be saved by it, or you're going to be damned by it. Right? Water, water. The Red Sea. The people of Israel crossed through on dry land. The waters were a wall unto them. The waters kept, they were saved by the water hedging them about. What was it to the Egyptians? They essayed to go through and the water destroyed them. That's Christ. He's the water. 8 souls saved by water. The rest of the world damned by water. Babies weren't damned. God mercifully saved millions, billions maybe, of babies. But by water. So it keeps talking about water. But look at 1 Peter 3. It talks about 8 souls saved by water. The like figure baptism also does save us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Christ is that water. We're saved by Him, being found in Him. Crucified with Christ, buried with Christ. Noah and his family were baptized into that ark in the water. The water covered that ark, didn't it? Overflowing scourge of God's wrath just covered that ark, and they were tossed about. By the way, they were in that ark a year. What's the longest you've ever been in a boat? Oh, you know the hardships in that boat? Sickness? Sadness? Sorrow? But they were in that ark. They're saved. They're kept by that ark. Had trouble, but thank God. Someone said one time that Noah stumbled and fell one day. He fell. He's a righteous man, but he fell. But he didn't fall out of the ark. He fell in the ark. And the Lord picked him up. See, the ark was kept by the power of God. Who? What's that? Christ. It's our ark. He shut us in, pitched us, promised us. We're in Him, safekeeping. And baptism, you see, is the answer of a good conscience toward God. Baptism is a figure of Noah and the ark, of how it, what it means to be found in Christ, to believe Him, to confess Him, is by coming to Him and be found in Him, going into Him. And going into that pool is the same thing as Noah going into that ark. You know, baptism today is a foot to the world, is an old-fashioned, ridiculous, when they hear about baptism. Can you hear them scoffing? Our Lord said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." And when Peter preached at Pentecost, he said, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Repent. Be baptized. Every one of you." And it says, everybody that received His word, were baptized. Every one of them. 3,000 souls were baptized. Every person in that ark was baptized. It says in 1 Corinthians 10 that all the children of Israel were baptized into Moses in the sea and in the flood, in the cloud and in the sea. Is it important? It doesn't save us, but it's the answer of a good conscience. Meaning, a conscience is convicted of sin. A conscience is convicted of sin. A conscience that knows, that's been taught by God, that it's not our works. Conscience purged from dead works. It's not our works. We're saved one way. Christ. No, ask Noah. Noah, why were you saved? The ark. It's the only reason I live, Noah said. Shem, what about you? The ark. So, you know, baptism is the answer of a good conscience. Fear. A good conscience fears God. A good conscience believes God. A good conscience rests in the promises of God. A good conscience is purged from dead works. To serve. Noah worked on the ark all the time. His conscience wouldn't let him go after anything else. Do you understand? God wouldn't let him be turned aside to anything else. God kept pricking his conscience. Noah, the ark. A good conscience is one who's waiting, believing, hoping in Christ to come and get him and raise him up. Like that ark. Because it goes on to say, he's gone into heaven. He's on the right hand of God. Angels and authorities and powers made subject unto him. And we all believe. We all believe that our salvation is completely and wholly in Jesus Christ. We've come to Christ by His grace. We've found grace in His eyes. We fear God. We believe God. We trust Christ. We look to Christ. We rest in Christ. We gather together and we talk about Christ, our ark. Every time we get together, so much more as we see the day approaching. And God's true people, their conscience makes them plead to be found in Him. In that day. And we know that Christ is coming for His people to raise Him up the last day. And so we want to be found like that ark. We don't want to sink. We don't want to drown in this world in perdition. We want to be raised up to be with Him in a new heaven and a new earth. Don't you? Oh, if you do, you've found grace. Okay, stand with me.